Hello and welcome to the Thursday, September 11th, 2014 edition of the Sands and its Storm Centers Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich and today I'm recording from Augusta, Georgia. Well, first, quickly about today's diary, I did summarize some of the advances in content security policy. You may have heard 1.0, content security policy 1.0 is now a standard. Content security policy 1.1 is currently under development and in draft form. Expect to see a lot more support for content security policy in browsers. Also, a little correction to a podcast from a couple days ago. I mentioned the tool Casper and said that it's part of the Google Chrome project. While it's actually implemented as a Google Chrome plugin, it was developed by Stuart Larson independently from Google or Google Chrome. And you probably heard on this podcast or from other sources about Comcast using some of its subscribers' cable modems as public wireless access points unless you opt out of having this option available on your access point. Turns out that this option wasn't quite controversial enough, so in order to fix that, Comcast does now insert ads whenever you are connecting to one of these access points into existing web pages that you may be downloading. Comcast does call this watermarking or branding the access point to tell the user that they're actually connecting to a legitimate access point. But then, of course, even an illegitimate access point, we have seen some of these, for example, implemented using the Pineapple platform, could easily inject one of these pop-up ads via JavaScript. Just the same way Comcast does. At this point, there are only ads for Comcast itself and for some downloads it offers, but of course, there's nothing that would prevent an attacker from setting up a similar access point, setting up these pop-ups, and then, for example, offer fake antivirus for download. And earlier this week, a Russian password trading site, isleaked.com, did publish about 5 million Gmail logins, and about 60% of them appear to be still active. In addition to that, the same site also posted about the same number of mail.ru logins, which are from a somewhat equivalent Russian free email site. Apparently, these logins don't come from either site directly. However, what is much more likely is that another site was breached and then this site's usernames and passwords contained, for example, Gmail email addresses, which then linked them to the passwords. And because, of course, users still reuse passwords, the same passwords they used on this third-party site also worked to log them in to Gmail directly. We have seen this many times before. Probably the most prominent case of a leak like this was the HB Gary case, in which a username and a password that was leaked on a third-party site, in this case an Atlanta InfraGuard site, was then used to log into the HB Gary Gmail account. And in the shadow of all of the Apple updates from earlier this week, Jonathan Jarski did publish an updated blog discussing some of the backdoors that were revealed earlier this year in iOS. Turns out that as of the latest iOS 8 beta, most of these backdoor services have been shut down, short of a couple that are mostly accessible via USB only. So looks like Apple is attending to this problem and is trying to make the iOS operating system more trustworthy. And sticking with Apple for a moment here, Symantec is reporting that they are seeing more phishing attempts that are claiming to be fake Apple security notices. I've seen a similar notice in the past. They usually claim that you purchase something from Apple's App Store or via iTunes from a new device, and then it also mentions typically a Russian IP address or something like to make it look like there is some urgent need for you to act and actually check your account. If you then download the attachment or click on the link, guess what? You'll actually be receiving some malware. According to Symantec, these emails are these days also used then to steal iCloud credentials. So essentially you will be then redirected to a fake iCloud website and asked to log in. Well, and that's it for today. So thanks again for listening and talk to you again tomorrow. Bye.